ultimately, like, human design is illuminating you to who you truly are. So it's not like you have to now, like, become and work towards being someone else. It really is more so like a process of just removing the BS, right? Like, just really aligning yourself, dropping into your truth.
Welcome to the Sensuality Academy podcast, where I share tangible techniques to help you embody your femininity, enhance your sex life, and elevate your relationships. I'm your host, Eleanor Hadley, sensuality coach and founder of Sensual Yoga. Now let's unleash your inner sensualista.
Hello there, my loves, and welcome to another episode of the Sensuality Academy podcast. Now, before I get into today's episode, all about the magic of human design, I am super excited to announce that Embodied is back open for enrollments. This is my 6-week online experience, which will help you to drop into your most sensual self. Through video lessons, curated exercises, workbooks, and guided meditations, along with weekly live Q&A sessions with me, we'll explore how to feel truly embodied from the inside out. Each week, we'll dive into a new topic to help you connect deeper with yourself, your pleasure, and your loved ones. We'll explore themes such as self-inquiry and deconditioning, the energetics of masculine and feminine polarity, menstrual cycle awareness and magic, self-intimacy and self-pleasure, sex, pleasure, and orgasms, and of course, relationships and communication. This course is an intensive exploration into my most favorite topics to teach about to help you unlock your inner sensualista. So if you want to enroll, head to thesensualityacademy.com/embodied to enroll now or find the link in my show notes. We begin on October 17th. Okay, now on to human design. So as you know, my life, my work, my passion is about all things sensuality and feminine embodiment. I've been known to dabble in spirituality here and there, and I'm definitely a basic astrology bitch. I'm a proud as fuck Taurus over here. So I'm well versed in some of these methodologies for understanding our spiritual blueprint, if you will. Now, when I first had an astrology reading about 5 or so years ago, I was totally blown away. It was remarkable to me how much a total stranger could know about me and my tendencies, the way that I thought, my aspirations, simply by creating a chart from my birth date and time. But it wasn't until I discovered human design that things really, really shifted for me quite dramatically in my life. Now, my guest in today's episode is going to be explaining human design in a much more eloquent way than I can, but when people ask me about it, after I inevitably bang on about how amazing it is and how it's changed the game for me and my life, I tend to describe it as astrology on steroids, much more nuanced than even astrology is. And in this episode, human design reader and life design coach Chrissy Royal is going to explain to us exactly what human design is, all the different energy types, and how understanding your unique design can help you to live your life by design instead of by default. I was lucky enough to have a reading with Chrissy myself a few months back, and truly learning my design has helped me so much in all areas of my life. I mention it far too many times in our interview, as you'll hear, but I'm a projector. My energy type is a projector. And you'll hear what this means for me in the episode, but I can't tell you the sweet relief that I felt when I learned that my personal energy type is simply different to others. And my worth is not at all linked to how much I do and how much I can be on all the time, as I've consistently tried to do throughout my whole life. I finally allowed myself to rest more, and when I did, I noticed that opportunities were magnetized to me. It's absolutely incredible stuff, and knowing your unique design is going to be such a game changer for you, I promise. But before we dive into this episode, I'd highly recommend that you take a pause here, or while you're listening, just go and search to find your personal chart so that you can apply some of these teachings from Chrissy to yourself straight away. You're going to need your birth date, time, and location. So just head to mybodygraph.com to get your chart. There's also a link in the show notes for you. Also, in the meantime, you can follow Chrissy over on Instagram at Chrissy Royal. That's ChrissyRoyl. Okay, without further ado, here is my chat with Chrissy. Enjoy. Hello, Chrissy, and thank you so much for joining us on the Sensuality Academy podcast. I am so excited to talk to you all about human design. As I mentioned in the intro, human design has straight up changed my life. Knowing about the fact that I'm a projector has changed the game for me, the way that I relate in my business, with my relationships. My whole life changed when I learned more about human design, and I was really lucky to have a reading with you recently. So I am really grateful to have you here. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. And I know that we're going to have a really fun chat today.
So tell us to begin with, for someone who's listening to this and they're like, what are you talking about? What the hell is human design?
All right. So to try and put this as simply as possible, human design is a system or a modality that allows us to create or generate a body chart, which I like to view as our soul's master plan. And so it allows us to create this soul's master plan, and then it gives us the tools or the language to be able to interpret it, to be able to make sense of it, to understand, like, okay, cool, I've got my energetic identity. What the heck does this mean? And so as a system, it is a mashup of a few different modalities. So there is astrology, there is the chakra system, which most people are quite familiar with. And then there's the I Ching and the Kabbalah Tree of Life. And then you throw in some quantum physics. So what we get from this incredible mashup is almost like the best elements and, you know, the most insightful elements of all these incredible systems all rolled up into one. And so as I shared, by entering in our birth details, we can generate the soul's master plan. And basically your birth details is insight into the portal in which your soul chose to incarnate in this lifetime. So you would be encrypted with this really specific set of energetic coding, of energetic identities. And so human design is like the science, it's part science, part spirituality. And it is the system that allows us to kind of make sense of it all, to really understand and illuminate ourselves to who we came here to be before the world told and taught us otherwise.
Oh my gosh, that last part. Who we were meant to be before the world told us otherwise. That is a powerful one. And I know we're going to get into a lot of conditioning and deconditioning around our actual energy types later in this episode. But I think it's so interesting to hear your explanation of human design, because when I've tried to explain it to people, I'm like, I don't know, it's like astrology on steroids. Like, I've always resonated quite deeply with astrology, and I find that to be so fascinating. I know a lot of other people do. Of course, there's the skeptics out there, but when you start to understand it more deeply and all the nuances and all the layers, it really does make a lot of sense. And I've found it always resonated deeply with me. But then when I discovered human design, I was like, oh, wow, this is just a much, much more detailed picture. And it just, I mean, I can't speak highly enough of it. So I'm really excited to share with our audience today, the listeners right now, how human design can actually help them to live more authentically with more ease. Before we started recording, we talked about how it allows you to just kind of live more in line with who you are instead of who the world tells you to be. So how does human design help you do that?
I think it is just such an incredible tool to illuminate you to the essence of you. It is such a deep dive into self-awareness. And I think that when we have that self-awareness, it's like that first step to transformation. And so being able to really clearly see who you are, and I suppose just as equally as important, like who you are not, it allows you just to like throw out the rules and the systems that we have been told and taught that makes a successful, a happy kind of life. And it allows you just to honor your own way of doing things. And so being able to clearly see the way in which you are here to operate, it just empowers you and fills you with that self-trust to be able to like move in the direction of you, like to really, as I say, like live a life by design as opposed to living on default or by default.
Amazing. Okay, so tell us, what are these energy types and what do they mean?
Yeah, cool. So an energy type, or your energy type in human design, is similar to, say, like your star sign in astrology. So it's like the overarching energy that really influences like how you engage and operate in the world around you. And it also provides insight into the way that you're here to play with energy. And so another incredible gift of human design is that it really shows us just how incredibly unique we all are, and that there isn't this one way of living life. So again, feeling really empowered and aware of how you are here to play with energy allows you just to honor that and like move into alignment. And when you do so, as you said, you experience so much more ease and flow, and you know, obviously open yourself up to so much more success and enjoy all the good things. And so with our energy types, there are 5 energy types, or depending, I suppose, on which school you kind of align to, there is 4 energy types with a 5th subtype. But I will start off with our manifestors. So our manifestors make up approximately 10% of the population. And these guys are here to really like initiate energy. So I think of them as like the spark of the planet. So they really are here to initiate, to kind of trailblaze, to innovate, to kind of get the ball rolling. And so manifestors have been gifted with the kind of universal permission slip to really just act independently, to be able to move really quickly and spontaneously on their desires, on their fruitions. And so the kind of personal development world, the business world, like the narratives that we hear there around, like, you know, go and make it happen. If it's meant to be, it's up to me. That is very supportive of the way a manifestor's energy operates. They have that inherent independence that allows them to like spark, initiate, go. And so we then have our projectors, and our projectors make up approximately 20% of the population, and you are a beautiful projector and you're really here to guide energy. So you have this incredible gift in being able to really like direct the flow of energy on the planet. And so in being able to do this, you are really gifted with the way in which you see the world, the way in which you see people, the way in which you see into people. So you have this beautiful perspective, this really fresh, balanced understanding of what is truly happening. It's like you're able to really read between the lines and at a deeper level. And so what is worth sharing here with manifestors and projectors and our other non-sacral friends, reflectors, who I will get to later, but you guys are all what we would call non-sacral beings, meaning you don't have your sacral energy center defined. And our sacral energy center is the home of life force energy. So this is the energy that allows us, or having a fixed and consistent access to this energy, allows us to keep going, 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 which is in alignment with the way in which we've been taught to live, right? To hustle, to just effort equals results. Whereas manifestors and projectors, you actually have this really beautiful inbuilt boundary keeper that stops you from unnecessarily spending your precious energy. And so naturally, manifestors, projectors, your energy works in more of a focused and potent manner, and you're unable to keep up with the rest of the world. And so initially, you know, in my experience, a lot of projectors and manifestors can almost feel like they've drawn the short end of the stick, like that, you know, that you're lagging in life because you can't keep up. And it's the complete opposite, because we're not designed to operate at this pace and we don't need to. It's just that sacral beings have the capacity to keep going. So it's like, if we're not intentional about it, we will just kind of keep digging ourselves into a deeper hole. Whereas manifestors and projectors, you have this beautiful, like inbuilt mechanism within your body that doesn't physically allow you to keep up. So you may experience fatigue and exhaustion and just, you know, like tire, right? Like exhaust. And so rather than feeling like you've drawn the short end of the stick, realize that it's a beautiful gift, and realize that when you are not, you know, going, when you are not kind of producing, it doesn't mean that you're like hitting pause on life and that you're having a hiatus from life. It just means that your energy is doing what it's doing in a different manner. So like you're just as potent, you're still, you know, brewing your possibilities, and your desires are still in expansion and still in creation, even though you're not doing. And so that's just something really you know, powerful for a manifestor or a projector to really embody, to realize that you don't actually have to try and keep up with the rest of the world.
This is what just blew my mind when I learned this, because I have always had this story ever since I was young that I'm just lazy because I don't have as much energy as other people. I can't go, go, go all the time. I need a lot of rest. And I was like, wow, I'm just broken, or there's something wrong with me. I'm not productive enough. And it's awful because everybody's always comparing themselves against one another. But it wasn't until I learned, oh, okay, I'm a projector, and I actually like literally don't have as much energy, but that's okay. And that there's other really wonderful things about being a projector. And if I honor that, then like things flow really well for me if I actually allow myself to rest and give myself that permission. Whereas if I push myself and like beat myself up for being what I used to think was lazy, like nothing works well for me, and it exhausts me, like you said.
100%. And that's my perspective, is that when we're moving in alignment with our energy, we're going to experience so much more ease, flow, and all of the desires and success that we wish to experience will come to us with ease. Whereas when we're constantly going against the grain and we're kind of like pushing shit uphill with our energy, we're not opening ourselves up to like the abundance for which we are naturally open and deserving of. And so the thing with generators and manifesting generators, so I'm a generator. We make up the majority of the population, approximately 70% between the both of us. We are sacrally defined. And so we have this capacity to be really enduring and able to continually go, go, go. And so obviously this is a real beautiful gift when we can devote this energy to the things that light us up. But what we can see, like we can reflect back in society and how almost the sacral energy has been abused, because we've really been brought into a hustle culture where it is all about productivity. It is all about more is more. And so if we are unintentional with how we're actually devoting this energy, a lot of generators or manifesting generators can find themselves actually really kind of stuck in situations and experiences and jobs with people that ultimately don't light them up, but they're able to do it because they can. And so I always invite manifestors and generators to, you know, say to themselves, just because I can, it doesn't mean that I should. So again, intentions, boundaries. But the beautiful gift of having this sacral energy is that it really is designed to be poured into the things that you love. So you really are here to pursue joy, pursue the things that light you up, because being sacrally defined, you are here to generate life force energy. This is how you play with energy, is you generate, you create life force energy for yourself, but also for the collective to play with. So it really is this deep responsibility for you to prioritize your pleasure and your excitement and your fun and your joy, because in doing so, then you are in service to the collective. And so again, it's just about being really intentional about how you want to devote the sacral energy. A manifesting generator is a hybrid of a pure manifestor and a generator. So they have this kind of enduring sustainability that allows them to consistently go, 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 but they also have that initiating power of a manifestor that allows them to be a bit more spontaneous and a bit more dynamic than, say, just a pure generator. Our manifesting generators are the friends that are here to really show us that life isn't to be in this kind of one linear way that, again, that we've been taught. Their energy is naturally very dynamic. They are like multi-passionate, multi-entrepreneur, like multi-taskers. They want to be doing all the things. Their energy naturally wants to kind of be expressed in so many ways. And so what they are really here to kind of gift to themselves and to the world is that it's okay to change our mind. Like, again, we've been brought up in this world where we've been told like you need to choose one thing to be and do that for the rest of your life, and that's how you'll be successful, and work really hard at it. And so I always say as well to a manifesting generator is like telling them to just be one thing and choose one thing is going to feel incredibly stifling. So giving themselves the permission to honor where the energy flows and to know that they really are here, again, paving this new path, right? Like they really are showing us that it's okay to do all the things, sometimes for a long time, sometimes for a short time, but it really is about, again, pursuing that joy and ultimately generating more life force energy for the rest of us to play with. We then have our reflectors, last but not least, the beautiful reflectors who are like the rare unicorns, and they make up approximately 1% of the population. So yeah, very rare. And they have this beautiful gift of really ultimately, as their name suggests, like reflecting back to the community, to ourselves, like where we're at. And so they are completely open in terms of energy centers. So they have this like almost this like shape-shifting ability where they can just morph into their surroundings. And so they are always reflecting back the health status of their surroundings. And so, yeah, incredibly rare, but they are this beautiful, like, sage, this beautiful feedback to the collective to help us, I suppose, continually, like, evolve with intention.
Amazing. So hopefully everybody listening has already been looking up their body chart and they know which energy type they are, and hopefully everything that you just shared really resonates with them. I know that for me, absolutely resonates so much. And I think that something that that you touched on with every energy type, it seems like there's this one thing that we have to sort of break through in terms of our conditioning. Like, for example, with the manifesting generators, feeling like they have to choose one thing because society tells them to choose one thing to focus on. But they're multi-passionate and they often will be drawn to try lots of different things. And I know that that's true for a very close friend of mine who has a story about, I must choose one thing and why am I so scattered? But there's actually so much beauty in it. It really seems like there's a lesson for us all to learn. And if things aren't, you know, working out for us in life, there could be some sort of hint or a clue within your human design to help you kind of channel that, right?
Mm-hmm, exactly. There are some really kind of common ways that each energy type will experience kind of their conditioning or like ultimately be taken away from their true self. So like you alluded, as a projector, a real common self-limiting belief or a conditioned belief that a lot of projectors have is that they are lazy because you've noticed that your energy is not able to kind of exactly like keep up with the world, even though you're not designed to, you're not here to. It's just what we're told makes success. Our manifestors can go through life feeling that they have to kind of tame themselves down because, you know, as a manifestor, their ability to be able to, you know, initiate can be quite polarizing for other people. So they may spend, you know, part of their life or a lot of their life being controlled by others or feeling resisted from others. So they therefore feel like, okay, well, I need to dim my light. I need to make myself more palatable to not rock the boat as much. Manifestors, again, being initiators, they are incredible at, like, you know, being the spark, really getting the ball rolling. So again, a self-limiting belief that manifestors tend to have is that they can't finish anything, that they can't, you know, that they don't see things through to completion. They can't ever achieve their goals. And so again, you're not necessarily here to finish everything that you start. Like, your zone of genius is in the, you know, is in the creation, in the initiation. Manifesting generators, you beautifully shared, as your girlfriend experiences this kind of belief or the shame around changing their mind or not being able to kind of like pin something down. And then a lot of generators, you know, they, and this was my personal experience before really understanding who I came here to be through the lens of human design, is that we associate our level of self-worth with our productivity. So we feel like we need to continually do, like give in order to be worthy. So a lot of generators will have an incredible work ethic because they are able to sustain that pace. But a lot of the time you can end up, you know, doing things because you love the validation or you love the recognition that you get, as opposed to the actual joy that comes from doing this task. And so, you know, you can become a workaholic, which I was, and, you know, prioritized, you know, work over health and over family because you feel like, you know, it's helping you get ahead. There can be a real resistance to slowing down because, again, you feel like, if I'm not doing, then who am I? So there are some, like, yeah, real common, I suppose, self-limiting beliefs or the way in which we get shaped depending on our energy type.
So interesting. And it's interesting for me to listen to you sort of share those limiting beliefs that tend to come up, because for me, obviously, when you talk about the projector, I'm like, oh yeah, gosh, that is so me. And then I hear the other ones, I'm like, oh yeah, I can see how people could feel that way, but it doesn't resonate as deeply. And I'm sure there's people listening who are maybe a manifestor and they're like, oh my God, yes, that's me. That's the thing that I struggle with, which is so fascinating. And something about human design that I found really interesting as well is the idea of the not self theme and then the opposite of that. I know for projectors, it's bitterness and success. Can you explain that concept to us?
Yeah. So it's the not self and the signature. And this is such a cool little feature that we all have. It's like our inner GPS system that is letting us know whether we're on track or off track. I like to think of it as like a direct line to your soul. So again, this is such a beautiful way that you can kind of just consciously tap into how you are devoting your energy. And so anytime that you're feeling you're not self, this is an invitation for you to reflect and turn inward. Well, okay, where am I being my not self? And so, as you mentioned, for a projector, when you're feeling some emotional frequency of bitterness, this is your soul letting you know, like, hey, Eleanor, right now we are not being ourselves. And so you get to then go, okay, so maybe am I forcing life? Am I hustling? Am I not resting? And so then it allows you to then choose more intentionally about how you want to move forward. Like, do you need to change lanes? Do you need to pivot, course correct, or whatever? On the flip side of that, whenever we're feeling our signature, so for you it's success, this is, again, this kind of signpost, this light post letting you know, like, hey, right now we are on the right track. Let's keep doing more of this. And so now that we are talking specifically about success, one thing that I always share here, which I think is so important for projectors to explore, is that what is your definition of success? What does this mean and what does this look like to you? And it's very important for me to share here is that it needs to not be based on metrics, based on what we have been taught success looks like. So it's not on KPIs, it's not on the achievement of a goal. So, you know, does success feel like recognition? Does success feel like rest? Like, again, exploring, like, well, what does success really feel like to me? And once we know what our signature is and what that means to me, we can purposefully start to embed more of these moments, more of these experiences into our day. So again, we can start to be really intentional with how we are living our life and consciously creating the life that feels really aligned to us. So yeah, it's a really cool little insight that HD provides us.
So fascinating. For me as well, with that signature of success, I think that I've always had, again, this idea of success equals, and, you know, all of those standard metrics that we get told by our capitalist society that we live in. And so I've felt in the past quite bitter and resentful for not having that level of success. And then when I have sort of inquired a little bit more about, okay, what does success look like for me as a projector, for me and my energy, what lights me up, what makes me feel like really comfortable and happy with my life, it has nothing to do with those metrics.
Yeah.
And when I redefined what my metrics are about, you know, yes, rest and time at the beach and time in the sunshine and good food, great conversations with friends and things like that. It's not those typical metrics of having millions of dollars in the account and a huge fancy house to just sort of show you externally that I have this level of quote unquote success. And it that perspective shift is so interesting. And I think it's something that I think everybody would benefit from as well. So tell us about the signature and the not self themes for the other energy types.
All right. So our manifestors, when they are being their not self, they're going to feel anger. And when they are, you know, their signature, when they're on track, they're going to feel a sense of peace. And so with all of the not self and the signatures, to all of our listeners, all the community, I invite you to explore what that means, like what that feels like and what that means to you, because not all manifestors are going to experience peace in the same way. So get really clear on what your unique flavor of your not self and your signature are. And so we've obviously dived into the projectors, manifesting generators and generators. We have our not self of frustration. Our signature is satisfaction. Then we have our reflectors, who their not self is disappointment and their signature is surprise. And so what I have found from personal experience is that it's really interesting to tap into, what does, for example, for me, what does satisfaction feel like for me at different times in my life. It's not like you do this once and your definition stays the same, because I've noticed depending on like the season in my life, how I feel satisfied in this moment feels quite different. So again, it allows you to really like nourish your needs in the moment, like to or where you're at in life at this, in this season. So it's just like something that we can kind of continually work with throughout our life.
Yeah, I think that's a really beautiful thing to consider just for your own personal development. What does, you know, fulfillment and happiness and peace and success and what do all these things look like to me? And it's an ever-changing thing. I think just a lot of the time we do tend to just do this, these types of exercises this one time, or we think, oh, okay, my life should look like this. But then in each season of our life, things are going to change. Things are going to swap around in terms of importance and priority. And so checking in regularly with ourselves, I think, is a really important practice and something that I teach a lot about in terms of self-inquiry and constantly, you know, checking in, because we aren't going to be static and stay the same all the time. But having a system like Human Design is such a nice sort of container, I suppose, to explore within.
I feel like it just allows you to kind of really direct your self-inquiry in a way that's going to be really meaningful for you. Like it just allows you to just get to the core.
Definitely. Yeah, exactly. Because I think for me, until I learned about Human Design, I was trying to live like a generator because, like you said, generators are the majority of the population. A lot of our external world is created by generators and with that type of energy in mind of yes, do constantly work and oh, what, you can't keep up, what's wrong with you, there must be something wrong with you. Yeah. And that's definitely how I felt in the past. Like I am just broken, I am awful and terrible and the worst person ever because I can't keep up like a generator. And so understanding that is so helpful to sort of guide us and allow us to realize, okay, no, well, I'm different, and this is my signature, and that's what I'm gonna focus on from now on.
And you've got beautiful gifts. You know, we only are kind of highlighting one gift, which is this gift of productivity, because that's how we've been taught, but there are so many more gifts and contributions to the world. And so when you can really focus and own what yours are, it allows you to experience such a deeper sense of success or peace or satisfaction. And you can create with ease, like you can create with flow and you can create with impact, as opposed to, yeah, trying to do something that's not in your alignment.
Absolutely. So talk to us about, so we've covered the energy types and their signatures and not self themes, but as we explored before, Human Design is very, very big. There's a lot of nuance involved. It's not simply just this is one blanket statement. Every single person is going to have quite a lot of different nuanced elements of their Human Design, and that's what you sort of go into quite deeply in your sessions. But let's talk about the strategy. What is each energy type's strategy?
Yeah, so basically your strategy in Human Design is like your game plan on how to actually honor your energy and, you know, to keep you in flow, right? So our manifestors are here to inform, which basically just means that they're here to let people know what it is that they're doing, to not ask permission, because they act really independently, but it's just more about letting people know what's up, so then it reduces the amount of resistance and interference that they may experience, and it allows them to experience more peace. We then have our projectors, who are here to wait for the invitation. So basically this is required when your energy is going to guide another's. You first want the other person to be open and receptive to you providing, you know, ultimately guiding their energy. And in waiting for the invitation, this allows you to be more well received, to actually feel that sense of recognition and appreciation that you desire to receive. It allows you to, you know, to ultimately not walk away feeling bitter for the person not being grateful or receptive to your insight or to you guiding the energy. We then have the our MGs and our generators who are here to respond to life. So ultimately life is always coming towards them, like people, opportunities, experiences. And our strategy is to respond, because it's very much based on the sacral wisdom, to respond like, is this a yes or is this a no? And so projectors and manifesting generators and generators, naturally with your aura, your energy field, and we can see this through your strategy, life is always like extremely magnetic. Life is always coming towards you. So again, we're not here to hustle. We're not here to force. We're not here to initiate life. And again, this goes completely against the way in which we've been taught is how you achieve success. So this can be a real shift. There can be a real resistance. And it really ultimately is this element of surrender and really remembering who you are to connect to that power. But ultimately, you're not here to force or chase life. Life is always coming towards you, and you get this beauty and this ease and understanding that you then get to respond to life. You get to wait for the aligned decisions. You don't have to constantly go out there and like force your way into the world or force your way into life. We then have our reflectors, who are here to ultimately reflect as a celestial being. So a lot of their guidance comes from their connection to the moon. So it very much is around like the lunar cycle. And so we can see this reflect or play into their authority as well, which is ultimately how we are here to make decisions and be aligned to our soul guidance as opposed to mental guesswork, really.
Oh my gosh, okay. So interesting. The strategy is definitely something as well that I found so interesting and a little bit confusing to drop into. I think just because of the conditioning for myself as a projector, having been told, okay, your strategy is to wait for the invitation, I was like, what do you mean? And so that definitely took a lot of trial and error and understanding, you know, much more deeply, which is again what you sort of go into in your readings. You mentioned there the authority. So this is another sort of pillar, I suppose, or fundamental part of the chart. What is your authority?
All right, so the authority was like the game changer for me, because prior to really understanding who I was someone that was always looking externally. I was looking for guidance and validation from outside of myself. And so I didn't have that kind of the sense of self-trust that I do now. And so your authority is how you are here to make decisions. And ultimately, I think of this again as like your soul's voice. And so we've been taught to make decisions from a headspace. We're always taught to make logical, you know, really thorough, thoughtful, or thought through kind of decisions, right? And really powerfully and interestingly, your mind is never your authority in human design. So we're not here to make decisions from our mind, which again can just blow people's mind, because, you know, people are like, well, how else do you make decisions? And so your authority is how you make decisions. And so there are varying authorities, and ultimately it informs the way that you are here to make decisions, because when you are trusting your authority, you are coming from a place of your soul's alignment, and our soul only knows joy, abundance, possibilities, expansion. And so it's coming from a limitless place, whereas our mind is always rooted in scarcity and fear, and, you know, it's always trying to kind of keep us safe, or this perceived safety. And so in my experience, a lot of the time, like it's kind of like a two-part process. It's like first actually being connected to our innate body wisdom, to your authority, because again, if we spent our whole lifetime like living from a headspace, really disconnected from the innate, you know, wisdom from within, really embodying our wisdom, we might not even recognize it. We might not even hear it or feel it, right? So it's that first step in actually kind of coming home to yourself. But then the second kind of step, I suppose, is then having the courage to actually move on the guidance from your authority, because in my experience, a lot of the time it has gone against like kind of what my mind is telling me is the logical thing to do, the safe thing to do. But it's just ultimately, I suppose, coming and landing on this decision. Well, if I truly believe that my soul is this beautiful kind of ever expansive, you know, energy, this being, and it's communicating to me through my authority, well, I'm going to trust it and I'm going to take that lead. And then the more that I've done that, and the more that you do that, you build up evidence to support you, to give you that faith, and that you don't even really doubt it going forward, because you just know that, all right, well, this is the guidance that I'm getting, this is the decision, this is what is right for me. And so being able to really attune to your authority, and to be able to have the confidence to move on it, it just cultivates such a deep level of self-trust that you now no longer have to turn outside of yourself for direction. You now no longer are indecisive, because you know what is truly aligned for you. You know what is truly of your highest timeline and what's going to kind of help you move towards your true norm. So yeah, big game changer, really understanding your authority.
Yeah, huge game changer. And one that I imagine a lot of people can struggle with, especially that like permission piece of like, I can make my own decisions and I don't need to look externally for permission or for guidance from somebody else. And I think that's a trap that a lot of us get stuck into, that we don't trust ourselves. We don't think that, you know, we are able to make our own decisions. We don't think that, yeah, we can do that on our own. And yeah, I feel like knowing your authority is super, super powerful, but that act of actually trusting it,
yeah,
that takes a bit of work, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. But like I said, the more that you actually do it, the more that you're like, I know that, like, I know that I've got my back. I know that this is true for me. So it's like the fear or the resistance that you experience, I suppose, maybe will reduce over time. But in saying that, I suppose it depends on the magnitude of the decision that you're making and how scary that leap is going to feel. But ultimately, just having that trust and that faith that your authority is always truly guiding you. It's always got your back. It's like, have fun with that. Like, lean into that.
Yeah, beautiful. Beautiful. So with the energy centers, this is another thing that I know that you wanted to touch on. Obviously for projectors, is it right that we don't have energy centers or we...
No, so you do. Yeah, you do. The only energy type that doesn't have any energy centers defined is a reflector. And so okay. There are, you know, again, depending on your type, actually it's not dependent on your type. There are 9 energy centers within our body and it depends on whether you've got 1 or 9 defined, and that will really kind of influence you, your makeup.
Right. So tell us about the energy centers. Where are they and what do they mean?
What do they mean? Yeah. Okay. So the energy centers are like the geometric shapes that you'll see on your body chart. And so when they are colored in, this means that they are defined. And so where they are defined, this means that you have a really fixed and consistent access to this energy. It is like, I refer to this as like your home base. It's something that you can always call upon. It's something that you can trust. It's something that you know. Where you are undefined, so these will be the geometric shapes that are white within your chart. This is where you are undefined. And so this is where it's like, I think of these as like your vacation hotspots. It's where you are here to like go and try different energies. It's where you're here to learn, like, and gain new experiences. And ultimately it's where you are here to really, yeah, gain your wisdom, but being open, like having no fixed way of being here yourself. This is where you're also really open and susceptible to the conditioning of others and your environment, ultimately kind of being your not self. But where you are defined, it doesn't mean that you will, you know, it doesn't mean that you're always going to be in the like highest expression or the embodiment of these. You can still be through conditioning, you can still kind of, you know, forget your gifts and forget the core and the truth of you. But the process to kind of getting back to that is more a process of unbecoming as opposed to completely learning from scratch.
Okay, interesting. And I think that you mentioned there are a few energy centers that were quite potent to understand.
Yeah, so because I love working with the energy centers because it is like this roadmap for like what you're here to learn, where you're gifted, and then also can really illuminate you to where you're more likely to, you know, to be influenced, right? And so for me, the biggest kind of ones that I love to play with or touch on is the sacral, which we've spoken about heaps, because it is that, it's either this ability that allows you to keep continually going, or your energy is going to be more focused and potent. So you're going to work, it's going to be more necessarily about, or it's going to be more quality necessarily than quantity. So we've kind of alluded and touched on that quite a bit. The heart is also a really, I suppose, potent or influential energy center, because when we are undefined, this is the area that really is home to our level of worth, right? And so when it's undefined, when we're not kind of conscious of this, we can always constantly find ourselves trying to improve or prove ourselves. And so obviously we can look at the way of the world. And, you know, a lot of people walk around feeling that they are not worthy, right? Or like we do a lot of things for validation. We feel like we need to prove ourselves in order to feel worthy. And so just having this awareness of, you know, again, if you have got an open heart, that you really are here to, you can just be aware of that. So you can be really intentional when you catch yourself in those moments. You can just be like, ah, look, I can see that this is the not self of an open heart at play here. But it's really important, whether you're defined or undefined, is to know that, like, we all came here with a innate level of self-worth. And so it just is, there's nothing more to add to it. It can never be taken away from. So again, having this, like, really letting that land really influence, I think, the way in which we show up, because it's never coming from a place of now feeling like our worth is at risk, right? The identity center is the one that I work around a lot. So a lot of my work is around kind of purpose, around radiating purpose. And so for me, this has been a real journey for me. So I've spent my whole life as well constantly feeling like I wanted to, like, you know, I was searching for my purpose. Like, what is my purpose? Is it this? No. Is it this? No. So again, I was like constantly trying all these different things. And then with that came a sense of shame or a sense of kind of confusion, because I was like, oh, well, I haven't found my thing. Like, what is my purpose? And so the identity center is the home of, like, our direction, of our kind of purpose. And so when it's undefined, we don't have a, like, a consistent access to this feeling of purpose. And so understanding that, I was like, oh man, what a breath of fresh air, is that I'm not here to ever feel like I can pin down my purpose. So in understanding that, it allowed me to, like, kind of, you know, stop the search, right? Like, the search is over. But also really an understanding through the lens of human design, like, what our purpose is. Our purpose is never a job. It's never a career. Your purpose is a feeling. Our purpose is in a full expression of our truth. And so really, like, the identity center was the center that unlocked that for me. And so on the flip side of that, when you have a defined identity center, you naturally have this innate understanding of where it is that you're going. So again, when you walk to the path of someone else, that's going to feel really off for you, right? Like, because you've just got this innate knowing of who you are and where you're going. So you, again, self-trust, you know what it is that you desire, you know what it is that you want, and you know where it is that you're going. And when I say this, I don't mean that you specifically know, well, in 5 years' time, I'm going to be here and doing all this, da 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 da. But it's just this innate feeling that allows you to not slip into the not self of an identity center, which has been overly fixated and consumed and like, who am I and where am I going? And so for me, I do a lot of work around that identity center and the heart, again, because it all kind of comes back down to that level of self-worth that we feel that we are open to receive. But yeah, the energy centers are really cool. They're really insightful.
So interesting to hear about specifically that identity center, because I think what human design offers as well is not just an understanding of ourselves, but of the people around us. Because mm-hmm. I know for me, I have been that person, and I don't know if this is reflected in my design. I can't quite remember right now, but I have always felt quite a solid sense of purpose and known what I want to do. It has changed throughout my life, but I've always been pretty bloody solid on, like, yeah, this is what I'm meant to do, and like, this is the path I'm going to take. Whereas I do have people in my life who have always struggled, like you experienced, with that sense of purpose, like, what am I here to do? And like, it plagues them. And it's something that for me, like, I can have empathy, but I don't understand that, because that's not my lived experience. And I think so often what we do is we project onto others our experiences. And a nice way of using human design can be to understand how others experience life. Like, oh, okay. Well, when I've explained to people, specifically my parents, actually, both generators, my parents, and I'm a projector, and I explain to them what, like, a little overview of what a projector is like and how we, you know, don't have as much energy and we're here to operate differently, rah, rah, rah. It was only then that I kind of felt this big sense of relief, like, okay, now they get me a little bit more, because their advice is going to be, like, clouded with this lens of generatorness that isn't going to be useful for me. And, you know, for me as a business owner as well, I've done countless online courses and mentorships and all of these things with a bunch of generators, and I didn't realize it. And I was like, why are their strategies not working for me? I hate this. I'm exhausted. Yeah. Let me nap. And so I love understanding these different ways that human design can impact different people, and especially the people in my life, because it gives me almost this vocabulary to understand, oh, okay, that's their experience. Maybe I don't have it, but right, that makes sense. I can connect better with you now.
Yeah, 100%. I think that it's such a beautiful tool to not only give ourselves the language to be able to understand ourselves, but also like the lens in which to see ourselves. But it also allows us to truly see other people for who they are. And as you touched on, like naturally, we are always going to see life through our lens, and you know, understand that we are so incredibly unique and so different. Just allows us to be a lot non-judgmental towards those in our life, and just again understand that there are so many ways to do something. And so again, it's not about doing things one way, or like there's not one model, or there's not like one size fits all. It really is about finding what honors you and your energy and nourishes your gifts, and finding, you know, the thing that aligns with you most, and not feeling like, well, if you can't do something a certain way, that something's wrong with you. It's just not aligned for you. It's not yeah. expansive for you.
It's just like a big universal permission slip to be yourself, isn't it?
Yeah. And it's so crazy that we need something to tell us that it's okay to be ourselves, but we just really have been so conditioned to live life in this one way, and this one way doesn't honor all of us.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think that, you know, even without human design, deconditioning is such an important thing for us all to do. And it's like a pillar of my work, questioning your conditioning and thinking, okay, the way that I've learned to live life, or the way that I've learned about, you know, pleasure or relationships or anything, is that true for me? Because most of the time it's not going to be. And when you kind of release yourself from those shackles of what the expectations societally are of you, and you let yourself just actually drop into what is true for you, everything changes. Is there anything else that you think is absolutely integral that we know about human design?
Oh, I feel like we've covered a lot of juicy material. I think that it's worth sharing, like in understanding your human design, it's not like you then go, okay, cool, I'm going to like completely just like switch overnight and now I'm going to be like this new person. Ultimately, like human design is illuminating you to who you truly are. So it's not like you have to now like become and work towards being someone else. It really is more so like a process of just removing the BS, right? Like just really aligning yourself, dropping into your truth. And so also be really gentle and kind with yourself when you're going through this process, because it's not like you're going to just, you know, like change every aspect of your life overnight, but it gives you again this framework that you can just kind of direct your attention, direct your intentions with how you want to show up. So use it as a fun tool. And again, don't use it as another limiting kind of structure or framework to then, like, you're not just switching up one set of rule books for another. Like, use it as a powerful tool and get from it what you need.
Yeah, that's so important. I think sometimes we can get too rigid as well with like, oh, well, I'm this, therefore I can't do that. It's more about tuning in and going, okay, what resonates with me and how can I use it as a tool as opposed to a rule book. Beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing. I hope that everybody listening has learned about themselves a little bit more. Obviously, there's so much to learn, and I'm going to share as well some details in the show notes about how to work with you. Getting a reading with you was definitely one of the best decisions that I've made. I definitely head over to my guide that you created for me regularly to sort of check in and tune in to how I'm living, if I'm living aligned with my style or not. And it's a really, really beautiful resource and tool. And as I've said multiple times, honestly, learning more deeply about my human design has been such a game changer for me. It has helped me to really, really tap into myself. And honestly, I'm just not as exhausted and burnt out as I used to be. I'm no longer trying to be a bloody generator when I'm a projector. Like, it's just, oh, the biggest sigh of relief. So thank you so, so much for joining us today. And I hope that everybody starts to live more in line with their human design.
Thank you so much for having me. Knew it was going to be a fun chat.
Before you head off to listen to another episode, I want to tell you about my 6-week course called Embodied. I have had so many people asking me to teach more online because you're all missing out on my in-person workshops. So I've got you. Embodied is an online experience which will help you to drop into your most sensual self. Through video lessons, curated exercises, workbooks, and guided meditations, along with weekly live group coaching sessions with me, we'll explore how to truly feel embodied from the inside out. Each week, we'll dive into a new topic to help you connect deeper with yourself, your pleasure, and your loved ones. We'll explore themes such as self-inquiry and deconditioning, the energetics of feminine and masculine polarity, menstrual cycle awareness, self-intimacy and self-pleasure, sex and orgasm, of course, and relationships and communication. This course is an intensive exploration in my favorite topics to teach and to help you unlock your inner sensualista. Waitlist students will receive bonus content plus priority enrollment. To get yourself on the waitlist, head to thesensualityacademy.com/embodied-waitlist or simply find the link in the episode description and show notes. I cannot wait for you to join me. Let's get embodied.